And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Going Through the Bible in a Year in a Soft-Spoken Manner. This is day 68, and I'm excited because God is the God of numbers. He wrote a book about numbers, and we are going to start the book of Numbers today on day 68. That's right, we'll be finishing Leviticus. We'll be going through Leviticus chapter 27 through Numbers chapter 1 verse 29, the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, and conclude with God Calling Eventide devotional. But before we begin, sweet friend, if you do not know Jesus, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus who died just for you, and you would like to know Him as your very own Lord and Savior, would you please pray the following prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I would like Jesus to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Your word says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, that if I confess out loud Jesus is my Lord and believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. For it is with my heart that I believe and am justified, just as if I never sinned. And it is with my mouth that I confess and I am saved. Please, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Please be my Lord and my Savior. I repent for the wrong life I have lived until now. I choose You and will live for you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are now his child. All heaven is jumping up and down and dancing because you received Jesus into your very own heart, sweet friend. Tell someone you just received Jesus and find a great Christian church and grow in Him. He loves you and desires worship from your heart each and every day. You are so precious to Him. And now, I will pray and ask the Lord to bless this episode this evening for day 68. Dear Adonai, Elohim, Heavenly Father, thank you again, where we can come before you and go deeper. Continue. Oh, Father, never quench the yearning and the hunger and the thirst we have for you. And if those who are listening don't have that yet, will you give that hunger and thirst to them, Lord? Your precious Son took our place, oh, Father. We don't take that lightly. I certainly don't. I thank you, sweet Holy Spirit, for opening up the eyes of our hearts, our spiritual hearts, for the revelation as your words go deep into our spirits, our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our wills, our emotions. More than anything, I ask that our lives glorify you, Father, Jesus, and sweet Holy Spirit. We love you. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray, by the power of His sweet Holy Spirit. Amen. Leviticus chapter 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when a man consecrates a person to the Lord in a vow, according to your valuation, your valuation of a male from 20 years old to 60 years old shall be 50 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. If she is a female, then your valuation shall be 30 shekels. If the person is from 5 years old to 20 years old, then your valuation shall be, for a male, 20 shekels, and for a female, 10 shekels. If the person is from a month old to 5 years old, then your valuation shall be for a male 5 shekels of silver, and for a female, your valuation shall be 3 shekels of silver. If the person is from 60 years old and upward, if he is a male, then your valuation shall be 15 shekels, and for a female, 10 shekels. But if he is poorer than your valuation, then he shall be set before the priest, and the priest shall assign a value to him. The priest shall assign a value according to his ability to pay. If it is an animal of which men offer an offering to the Lord, all that any man gives of such to the Lord becomes holy. He shall not alter it, nor exchange it. A good for a bad, or a bad for a good. If he shall at all exchange animal for animal, then both it and that for which it is exchanged shall be holy. If it is any unclean animal, of which they do not offer as an offering to the Lord, then he shall set the animal before the priest, and the priest shall evaluate it, whether it is good or bad. As the priest evaluates it, so it shall be. But if he will indeed redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of it to its valuation. When a man dedicates his house to be holy to the Lord, then the priest shall evaluate it, whether it is good or bad. As the priest evaluates it, so it shall stand. If he who dedicates it will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of your valuation to it, and it shall be his. If a man dedicates to the Lord part of the field of his possession, then your valuation shall be according to the seed for it. The sowing of a homer of barley shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. If he dedicates his field from the year of Jubilee, according to your valuation, it shall stand. But if he dedicates his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon to him the money according to the years that remain to the year of Jubilee, and an abatement shall be made from your valuation. If he who dedicated the field will indeed redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of your valuation to it, and it shall remain his. If he will not redeem the field, or if he has sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed any more. But the field, when it goes out on the Jubilee, shall be holy to the Lord, as a devoted field. It shall be owned by the priests. If he dedicates a field to the Lord which he has bought, which is not of the field of his possession, then the priest shall reckon to him the worth of your valuation up to the year of Jubilee, and he shall give your valuation on that day as a holy thing to the Lord. In the year of Jubilee, the field shall return to him from whom it was bought, even to him to whom the possession of the land belongs. All your valuations shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary, 20 gerahs to the shekel. However, the firstborn among animals, which belongs to the Lord as a firstborn, no man may dedicate, whether an ox or a sheep. It is the Lord's. If it is an unclean animal, then he shall buy it back according to your valuation, and shall add it to the fifth part of it. Or if it isn't redeemed, then it shall be sold according to your valuation. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man devotes to the Lord of all that he has, whether of man or animal, or of the field of his possession, shall shall be sold or redeemed. Everything that is permanently devoted is most holy to the Lord. No one devoted to destruction, who shall be devoted from among men, shall be ransomed. He shall surely be put to death. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man redeems anything of his tithe, he shall add a fifth part to it. All the tithe of the herds of the flocks, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not examine whether it is good or bad, neither shall he exchange it. If he exchanges it at all, then both and that for which it is exchanged shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. The fourth book of Moses, commonly called Numbers, chapter 1, verses 1 through 29. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of the names, every male, one by one, from 20 years old and upward, all who are able to go out to war in Israel. You and Aaron shall count them by their divisions. With you there shall be a man of every tribe, each one head of his father's house. These are the names of the men who shall stand with you. Of Reuben, Elitzur, the son of Shedeur. Of Simeon, Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. Of Judah, Nahshon, the son of Aminadab. Of Issachar, Netanel, the son of Tuar. Of Zebulun, Eliab, the son of Helon. Of the children of Joseph, of Ephraim, Elishama, the son of Amihud. Of Manasseh, Gamaliel, the son of Pedahzur. Of Benjamin, Abidan, the son of Gideoni. Of Dan, Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai. Of Asher, Pagiel, the son of Ochran. Of God, Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. Of Naphtali, Ahira, the son of Enan. These are those who were called of the congregation, the princes of the tribes of their fathers. They were the heads of the thousands of Israel. Moses and Aaron took these men who were mentioned by name. They assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their ancestry by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, one by one. As the Lord commanded Moses, so he counted them in the wilderness of Sinai, the children of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of the names, one by one, every male from 20 years old and upward, all who were able to go out to war, those who were counted of them, of the tribe of Reuben, were 46,500. Of the children of Simeon, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, those who were counted of it, according to the number of the names, one by one, every male from 20 years old and upward, all who were able to go out to war, those who were counted of them, of the tribe of Simeon, were 59,300. Of the children of Gad, their generations, by their families, other's houses, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all who were able to go out to war, those were counted of them, of the tribe of Gad, were 45,650, of the children of Judah, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all who were able to go out to war, those who were counted of them, of the tribe of Judah, were 74,600. Of the children of Issachar, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all who were able to go out to war, those who were counted of them, of the tribe of Issachar, were 54,400. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Yeshua, or Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. He ate nothing in those days. Afterward, when they were completed, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Yeshua answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." The devil, leading him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, "I will give you all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I want. If you therefore will worship before me, it will all be yours." Yeshua answered him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and you shall serve him only." He led him to Jerusalem, or Yerushalayim, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, for it is written, he will put his angels in charge of you, to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest perhaps you dash your foot against a stone." Yeshua answering said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." When the devil had completed every temptation, he departed from him until another time. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding area. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. He entered, as was his custom, into the synagogue on the Shabbat day, and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He opened the scroll, and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to deliver those who are crushed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." He closed the scroll, gave it back to the shamash, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to tell them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All testified about him and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" He said to them, Doubtless you will tell me this proverb, Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done at Capernaum, do also here in your hometown. He said, Most certainly I tell you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But truly I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land. Elijah was sent to none of them, except to Zarephath, in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. There were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, except Naaman the Syrian. They were all filled with wrath in the synagogue as they heard these things. They rose up, threw him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill that their city was built on, that they might throw him off the cliff. But he, passing through the middle of them, went his way. He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. He was teaching them on the Shabbat day, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. In the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Ah, what have we to do with you, Yeshua of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Yeshua rebuked him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. When the demon had thrown him down in the middle of them, he came out of him, having done him no harm. Amazement came on all, and they spoke together, one with another, saying, What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. News about him went out into every place of the surrounding region. He rose up from the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a great fever, and they begged him to help her. He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately, she rose up and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, You are the Messiah, the Son of God. Rebuking them, he didn't allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Messiah. When it was day, he departed and went into an uninhabited place, and the multitudes looked for him and came to him and held on to him, so that he wouldn't go away from them. But he said to them, I must proclaim the good news of God's kingdom to the other cities also. For this reason, I have been sent. He was proclaiming in the synagogues of Galilee. God calling eventide. Day 68, new life. Jesus said, Eternal life gives a youthful resiliency. Think of my parable of the wineskins. Those who merely worship me as a creed are like unto old wineskins. They cannot accept new truth, new life. It would destroy, not increase their faith. Those who have my gift of eternal, youth-giving life have the ever-expanding, revitalizing, joy quality of that life. The new wine poured so freely into new bottles. That bracing wine sustains the many who receive it. Now, I just wanted to recap a little bit of Leviticus chapter 27 as far as what is a shekel and what is a homer. Well, a shekel is about 10 grams or about 0.35 ounces, and one homer is about 220 liters or 6 bushels. Higuera is about 0.5 grams or about 7.7 grains. And this is in reference to chapter 27 of Leviticus, verses 3, 16, and 25. And just to recapitulate, Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 through 29, what was impressed upon me was that all of the males had to be at least 20 years old who were considered as fit to go to war. And that, thus far, Judah numbered the most, 74,600. And Judah was the tribe of praise. But that's just out of what we read today. And anyone given to destruction were not to go and be counted as part of the census. In fact, they were to be put to death, as the Lord told him in Leviticus chapter 27. And interesting that the Lord reveals this the second year after they left Egypt. And concerning the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, wow. The devil did not start to tempt him until Jesus was completely hungry, thirsty, had not eaten anything for 40 days. Then the devil comes to tempt him. And what's the first thing he tries to tempt him with? Food, which was the downfall of mankind. Food. And underneath that was pride. And Jesus fought back with him. How? The Word. Why is it so important for us, sweet friend, to know the Word? Because the devil knows the Word more than you, more than me. He's been around for eons. Don't you think he knows the Scripture backwards and forwards? That's why he knows how to twist it, because he knows it. How much more do we need to know the Word of God? I will keep saying this, but if we only are in the Spirit, we will blow up. If we are only in the Word, we will be dry. But both being in the Word and the move of the Spirit, we will grow up. This was said by Lonnie Risby's former roommate and ministry partner, and God wants that for all of us. He wants us all to grow up into the mature sons and daughters of Him, to be conformed to Jesus' image. And that should be, and that is God's will for all of us, all who chose to know Him, all who chose to make Him their Lord and Savior. And so it's a process. But right here, this just goes to show how important it is for us to know the Word of God. Why? Because the enemy who does not take a break knows the Word of God. Which also brings me to another point. Interesting how familiarity can breed contempt. So those around him that were seeing little signs and miracles were still questioning who he was, and yet the demons knew who he was. What do you want to do with us, Son of God, the Holy One of God? And then they would call him Yeshua or Jesus the Messiah, and he told them to be quiet. It wasn't time for anyone to know yet. But isn't that interesting? They knew and recognized before anyone else. They already knew and recognized it, even when there were those who doubted it, despite signs, miracles, and wonders that were being done in front of them, despite the Word coming as flesh, proclaiming the Word of God. And it wasn't his time yet. When they tried to throw him over the hill, he made himself invisible and went right through them. It was not his time.